devastating beauty now. Sarah Louise Connolly's in the house. Yeah, she chose that song. Welcome back, Sarah Louise Connolly. We missed you. She was only on the naughty step for a nanosecond. She forgot. It's okay, isn't it? Keep on dancing. This is 102.5 FM Sound Art Radio. We're giving it to you. Oh, there we go. So that was a bit of Hip Cats, as chosen by Sarah Louise Connolly. Hello and a very bright welcome to the K-Curl Show. I'm Julie Mullen. We have an amazing programme for you today. Sarah Louise Connolly is our sensational roving reporter, and she's been out on the Totnes High Street interviewing Joe at Love Frankie. So we're really excited to put that out there on this programme today. We have got Hannah Linden, local poet, who is celebrating the debut of her pamphlet, The Beautiful Open Sky. So looking forward to talking to Hannah about poetry, how she stepped into that world, and, you know, all of that. Plus she'll be sharing poems with us. And keeping it a little bit on local, we bumped into Nina in the week in the pop-up shop. So she's coming on down too. Oh my giddy auntie, what are we like? So let's have a little bit of something for you. Oh yeah, a bit of Wolf.
Cries for his lady, he misses her so. It's the call of the wild, the rain turns into snow. And the others are hiding from weather so bad. But he's out there searching for the love he once had. Lady, come back to me. He cries and he cries himself to sleep, saying, lady, worry some me. I'll never give up, you were the salt of my sea. The wolf desperately wanders, he has to move fast, tries to pick up the pieces, a clue from his past. If you love one, then love them and let your love grow. 'Twas a fool who said you must let your love go. Lady, come back to me. You'll cry and you'll cry yourself to sleep, saying, baby, never give up, you are the salt of my sea. So she lie awake in her tent at night, with no kid beside her, just dimming sunlight. And she hopes that one day the wolf will reappear, you will live in a puddle of tears. Baby, listen to me. Your voice is the whisper of wind through the trees. Tell me, baby, am I alone? Give me your secrets, and you I shall roam. Baby, come back to me. I'll cry and I'll cry myself to sleep, saying, baby.
Wolf Cries by Julia Harriman. I really love that song. This is 102.5 FM Sound Art Radio. I'm Julie Mullen. It's the Kate Cole Show. I think it's that time, isn't it? It's that Sarah Louise Connolly, let's get to the interview time. I think so, anyway. Are you ready? Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, you put the coffee, you put the beans up in the grinder. You put the beans, goddammit, in the grinder. You put the beans in the grinder. You pop the beans up inside the grinder. You grind it up, and then you put a little grounds in the filter. You put the coffee gown down in the filter, and then you put the filter up in the top of the coffee maker. Gotta get that drip, gotta drip, 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 a drip, a drip, a drip, drip, drip. Got to drip, a drip, a drip, drip, drip. Gotta drip, baby, drip. Then you put it in your cup.
I'm here with wonderful and stylish Jo from Love Frankie.
Hello.
Now, that's the shop on the high street. Everyone knows it. It's interiors and stylish goodies. Jo, what's your background? How did Love Frankie start? How did you get into it all?
So I went to Chelsea School of Art.
I wondered if you had an art.
So I have got an art background. And then I started making stuff out of fake fur, and I had a stall on Camden Market for years.
And what then, were you making out of fake fur?
So I was making leopard print toilet seat covers.
Oh, brilliant!
With pictures of Elvis on and the Queen, R.I.P. Queenie.
Yeah.
B.A. Baracus, things like that. Crazy cactus. I used to cut out of foam. And then moving on from there, I kind of went travelling for ages, and then I worked for an interior designer, and then got made redundant while I was 3 months pregnant while I was working for her, and thought, what the hell am I going to do with myself? So I taught myself how to make lampshades, and there was the birth of Love Frankie. And that was about 14 years ago.
And you still do make some of your lampshades, don't you?
We do. We make all of them. So I design
all of them. Oh, right. Yeah. Right, yeah.
So I design them all. And then there's a team of three of us. So I've got a workshop up in Bolton. Long story that we don't have time for. There's three of them up there and we hand make everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, what's my next question? I've got so into that, I've lost my next one. I was going to say, yeah, what prompted the move to Devon? Because obviously now you're on the high street, you're in Totnes.
Yeah.
But that's not your only shop, is it? You've got another shop.
No, that is the only shop.
Oh, that is the only
shop.
So I've
got the website, and then we sell on Not on the High Street and Etsy. But as far as a physical shop
it's Totnes is where it's at.
Yeah.
And what prompted the move to Totnes? What made you decide on Totnes and Devon?
Well, so we were living in London. We were in Hackney for a long time. My other half is a publican and a chef. And we were living in Hackney in a pub. And I grew up in London. I just didn't want to bring my kids up in London. So we were trying to find somewhere. We tried Brighton out, where I had my first shop, which is probably where what you were thinking of. And Brighton, I loved it. It just didn't really work out for us. So we ended up back in Hackney in another pub. And then we were like, we just want to be by the beach. We all want to surf.
Yeah.
And so we just did a lot of looking around. We kind of looked at Margate and all around there. Decided the beaches are a bit too stinky.
A bit
sorry
too
everyone that lives in Margate, like my brother. And then we came down here and we were just like, this is the place for
and
us.
And in fact, John actually now owns a pub locally, doesn't he?
Does.
He owns the Fantastic.
He's got the George Inn in Blackhorton, the one and only. Check
and
it
you've
out.
Done all the interiors in there.
Done all the
so
interiors. We've got five letting rooms upstairs, so they all look like Love Frankie.
And it's a great pub, isn't it? Because it's got like a really good sort of local village atmosphere.
It's the only pub in the village. All the locals use
go
it.
In there, yeah.
It's so just it's great. All the locals are amazing. There's always a good vibe in there. There's
yeah.
incredible views. And obviously, it's incredible because it looks amazing. And my other half is the chef.
So there we are.
Who needs to be at home more often cooking for me.
But if you haven't gone, go along to the George.
The George in Blackhorton.
And now there's exciting developments with Love Frankie lately, isn't there, as well? Because haven't you taken on a sort of studio space where you can do your lampshades? Well, and make your stuff. And
so that is kind of a little space for me, really, because at the moment we've moved to Totnes. We've just bought a bungalow that we're renovating, and at the moment my office is in my bedroom, which is not ideal. So I've taken on a unit in the industrial estate, which is basically my playground, where I get to do all my, so I do all the photography, so that'll be where I design, do all my photo shoots, and just get to like wear my overalls and slap some paint around.
Where?
And create as well.
Yeah.
I don't do enough making at the moment, mostly because I don't have the time or the space. So it'll be nice to get in there. I've got lots of new ideas about new products.
Do you find it difficult not to get sort of like bogged down in the practical selling and lose your way a bit with the creative stuff? Is that difficult to find that balance?
I do, but at the moment we've got a really good team. So there's six of us, yeah. So I've got Helen, who works in Brighton, who I used to work with when I had my first shop. She was my very first employee. So she's still with us, and she's amazing. She does all the sort of marketing, not the Instagram stuff, because I do all of that, but all of like, you know, all the website stuff, all of the marketing, a lot of the customer service. Tanya, who is my shop manager in Totnes, she's just, we're training her up to do all of that stuff at the moment.
Powerhouse.
Yeah, she's bloody great. Oh, am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
So it's giving me a bit more chance to do what I do, which is, you know, designing stuff.
So we've on got the a creativity good team at the and the designing, where do you find your style inspiration?
This is my most hated question because I never know what the answer is.
I don't know.
I literally don't know. It's like one of those things where, you know,
kind of look at what other people are going and go, oh, I like that, but I'd do it like this.
There's an
element of that.
There's an element of that. I mean, it's really, you know, I've obviously got my own sort of style. Like you can tell by the shop what my kind of, what my go-to sort of style is. And I don't know, it's really difficult. Like I might see...
Because it does evolve,
I might see your
it?
Shirt, your beautiful striped shirt, and be like, that would look amazing if I just turned that fabric sideways.
Yeah,
and did a stripey, which I've already done, but like a stripey lampshade with a tilted stripe. And, you know, so this... It's
it
just
could
keeping
be anywhere.
Your eyes open.
It could be anywhere.
Exactly.
I mean, Totnes, I mean, because obviously it's not London in terms of style, but Totnes is quite a stylish place.
It's
you
cool.
get a lot
it's
of stylish people.
Really kooky.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I love it. It's just, there's quite a lot of nutters around, and it has got its own unique sort of, you know, it's bubbling away with good stuff.
With
you
good
know?
Stuff.
Yeah. And
so
there
here's
are quite,
a question
quite a lot
for
of styly
you.
People kicking around.
Yeah, well, this is my next question. My final question. If we had a style awards in Totnes, like if we were to do like the most stylish person in Totnes, I guess you'd have to pick somebody that most people would know, which would be
I know,
tricky
that's
one.
A tricky one. There's a woman that comes in the shop called Eve. Eve, if you're listening, you're amazing. And she is, I think she's 70. She's got loads of amazing tattoos. People will know her in Totnes. She's got a little dog that's got purple hair. Little
oh,
poodle.
Yes, yes.
She's got shaved head.
She's very
so cool.
cool.
And she always reminds me of Vivian Westwood. That's what I think of when I see
that,
her.
She's got that cool
just,
thing about
and
her.
And she's an amazing woman. And so I'm going to give her the
vote
style award.
For Eve. Brilliant. Eve, if you're listening, you've won. I don't know what you've won, but you've won.
maybe you've won a Love Frankie gift voucher.
Woo!
She's amazing. She cashes her pension and then she comes to the shop and basically gives
That's
me all
what
her
you
money.
Should do. Fantastic.
I'm not abusing that situation, but she just wants her house filled with Love Frankie. And she's great. She comes in with a smile. We have a nice big hug. And yeah, it's
awesome.
A mutual appreciation
society.
Situation. Exactly.
And right then, back to you in the studio, Julie. Follow on from that one, girl.
Yeah, you put the coffee, you put the beans up in the grinder. You put the beans, goddamn it, in the grinder. You put the beans in the grinder. You pop the beans up in the grinder.
How on earth could I follow on from that, Sarah Louise Connolly? You put me on the spot.
You put the filter up in the top of the coffee maker.
It's very upset not to receive the style award. But I don't know Eve. I think I have seen Eve with her. Actually, I have seen the dog with the purple hair. That was a great interview. I love both of those people. Joe from Love Frankie and Sarah Louise Connolly. Woo, woo, woo for the high energy. And I can't wait to rush into that shop. We have got one of your shades, Joe, upstairs in the Cat Emporium. That's where your shade lives and they love it. It's a very groovy shop, let's be honest. And there are a lot of nutters in Totnes, aren't there? And I do count myself as one of them. Brilliant to hear you and your voices. And you're quite right. What on earth? How on earth can we follow on from that? It's not possible. Okay, let's have a few maniacs. Maniacs. That's how I like to think of Totnes, really. Just 10,000 maniacs. All of us rushing around. Are you still remembering the Totnes Festival? I am. My goodness. This place, they even have poster walls in Totnes. And I kid you not, there's... I love it. When I was trying to put up posters for the Word Cafe, it was quite a squabble. I put one up, I'd go back the next day, it was gone. Put another one up, it's gone. But there is good heart here, and I think they've sorted those poster walls out. Headed up, I know, by the wonderful Tracy Gillies, who keeps everyone with a high spirit. So, well done, girl, for sorting that out. I'm sure it was you. Telling everyone to, hey, easy, Tiger. Now, tonight, it's Poets and Pints down at the Barrel House, and we have got some incredible poets already signed up. 16! And that's without the ones that just turn up and want to read on the night. So we have Edward Tripp, who's hilarious. Hannah Linden, who we're just about to speak to, actually, is coming. And Chris White from Exeter and Spork. Harula Ladd. I'm just... Kerry Baker. I mean, there's loads of names. I'm going to reiterate them. I'm going to get the list and share it with you. But meantime, in Totnes, there's so much going on. Wonderful writers, poets, artists, you name it. I'm really fortunate to know a lot of them online on Poma Day. And Hannah Linden, will you please come on down? Hannah, thank you so much for coming along to 4th Street, to the studio here. We're in the heart of Totnes. We have a pamphlet in our hot hands, The Beautiful Open Sky. This is your first pamphlet. Well, everyone's really excited. You've got a launch coming on the 21st of September at, is it 6.30 to 7.30 at Totnes Library. Now, we want to share with the listeners and celebrate you, actually, as a writer. Now, I've got to say from the get-go, congratulations. Congratulations, you won the first prize in the Cafe Writers Open Poetry Competition 2021 and highly commended in the Wales Poetry Award 2021. Did this give you confidence? Did this bolster you? It would bolster me.
It definitely bolstered me. Yeah, it's very... I have a collection that I've sent out a few times and it's been shortlisted on a couple of occasions, which is wonderful. You're one in 500 people sending your book in, but it can get a little hard. Mm. You know, going, yes, it's good, but we went with somebody else this time.
That's disheartening, isn't it?
It is, it is.
But you obviously, you kept on trucking.
Yeah.
So you obviously got supporters, not just obviously your inner support, which is your strength, and that grit northern confidence.
Well, confidence goes up and down, to be honest.
Everybody's confidence does. But your children, I've got a feeling, have been very... Let me just, if you don't mind, I'm just going to open the page in this gorgeous book to the little quote. And it's a dedication. The book is dedicated to my children, Bethany and Elliot. I love you deeply and you inspire me every single day. Pretty gorgeous.
Well, it's true. They do inspire me every day. They're both very creative people. Bethany's a writer and Elliot is a songwriter and a wonderful musician. And Bethany's a musician also. They're just brimming with creativity. And we support each other's creativity very much so. They say very clearly, write whatever you want. So there are poems about them in this pamphlet, which they have seen. So I have been given permission to write anything. And I think that's a wonderful thing, you know, even though they can feel self-conscious sometimes about difficult things that they've experienced that I am writing about. One of the poems was about when Elliot was feeling quite depressed and down, and I wrote it to clarify my thoughts about what he was saying. We'd had a long conversation and I wanted to record it, so I wrote it for that purpose and that purpose only, and I showed it him to say, is this what you felt? And he said, yes, it is. I said, well, I won't send it anywhere. And he said, no, don't, it's too personal. And I said, that's fine. And then a week later, he said, people should know what teenage boys are feeling. Send it out.
That's fantastic. Isn't that clever of him as well?
Yeah,
he's very compassionate, because he's not thinking of himself. He's thinking about the wider reading page, you know. Now, people picking up this book, tell me what they'll find inside. What's the journey in this book?
Yeah, the book is about motherhood, different kinds of mothers. So the first part of the book is one of the wonderful endorsers at the back has told you about the journey,
and it's, shall we hear that? Would you like to read it?
Okay. All right, this is what Tom Sastry said. He says, the beautiful open sky opens with an extraordinary run of poems, heartbreaking and precise, about the damage done by a narcissistic mother. As it progresses, the poems accumulate symbols, becoming increasingly phantasmagorical before the patterns of a new life emerge as if through broken cloud. It works as a story, direct and emotional, but is also a meditation on how we remember, on the limits of reason and metaphor as ways of understanding the past. This is a fine model for a pamphlet, a focused set of beautiful poems, cunningly arranged, which draw power from each other. A wonderful debut. Thanks, Tom.
That's a brilliant, isn't that a brilliant quote? What about Jude? I mean, I'd love you to read them both, if you don't mind. I just think it really bolsters your book and shows people how it's been received by two incredible poets, actually.
Okay. I feel a bit embarrassed doing this, but go ahead. So this is what Julia Webb wrote. She put, "Truths are slippery and sometimes sinister in this stunning exploration of familial relationships by Hannah Lindon. It can be hard to know who to trust or who is parenting whom. But there is beauty here too, and a positivity that shines through despite the odds. Self-reflective and superb, Lindon's use of language is playful and imaginative. I can't wait to see what she does next."
Wow. And me too. But the journey hasn't always been plain sailing. You started writing from a young age. Can you share with the listeners a little bit about those little landmarks?
I started writing like many people do as a teenager, you know, scribbling poems down on paper bags whilst I was supposed to be working on the supermarket as a cashier. But I really got into poetry because I went to a party and I was a bit drunk. And I was going to everybody saying, "What do you want out of life?" And they all said very boring things from my point of view as a young person. And I was feeling quite down about it. But the father of the host of the party took me into a room and read me The Wasteland by T.S. Eliot to say, "So you think you're having problems?" I was very drunk and didn't understand a word, but I understood the feelings of the poem. And I didn't know poems could do that. I didn't know they could communicate even when you didn't understand them. Mm. And that was a powerful, powerful lesson to learn. So I started writing more seriously at that point. And one of my teachers entered the poems into a competition, not known to me, and I won. I was about 18 then. But one of my other teachers said, "You're not really a poet, you're a prose writer. You shouldn't really concentrate on the poetry, it's not your strength." So I thought, okay. So I started working on prose instead, which I just didn't have the feel for that in the same way at that time anyway. And I went to university, the first person from my working class family to go, and saw who the people were who were great poets and thought, yeah, I'm not one of them, am I? I'm really not. So I lost confidence completely and gave up until I was about 30, when I was wondering what to do. I'd just moved to Devon not very long before, a couple of years before. And I thought, I'll join an adult education class. And there was one on poetry, so I thought that'd be a good way to make friends. So I tried doing that, and the teacher said that I wasn't really a poet as well. So that was rather devastating for me.
Yeah.
So even though I had some local friends who did support me at the time, I heard her voice louder. Those two people had said it now.
So damaging, isn't it, for people to say stuff like that?
Yeah, it's a terrible thing to say to anyone. So I gave up completely for many years. I brought up my children. They didn't know I'd written poetry at all. And until one day, accidentally, we met someone when we were at Sidmouth Folk Festival. My son was playing with the son of another family, and we got into conversation, as you do, and discovered this man was from the Poetry Society, and we started talking about poetry. And he said, "Have you written poetry?" And I said, "Oh, years ago, I'm not very good." And he said, "Send them to me." So I did. And he said, "I like these. Why don't you write some new ones, and then we'll swap poems," which we did for about a year. The man was Mike Sims, lovely man. So I wrote with him for about a year, and that gave me the confidence to join the wonderful Poem A Day group that Simon Williams was just setting up then. And that's how I got into writing more regularly, and I met this wonderful international community that share poems online. That's probably how I met you, Julie.
Yeah.
And it's such a supportive community in comparison to what I'd been through. People were saying, "Keep going, keep going." So I've worked on poems for about 10 years. There's been other things that have slowed me down in that time, been through a divorce, etc. So I've had time off, but I've been writing away steadily the whole time.
And your work, I mean, I know because I'm on that platform with you. Your work is really utterly inspiring. I mean, literally, I'll be reading your work and I'll just sort of go, absolutely no clue how you've made that. But I know I'm affected by it. It means a lot to me. And I think that the collective, that the people, as you said, you know, when you arrived today, what's magical is that the people on the online group, some very brand new writers, are obviously, you know, that they're coming to the page for the first time, perhaps, or certainly being new to writing, but there's such support. And not just that, not just the support from the other people, but it's also the support from me or others reading the poems that really work, that we all probably aspire to achieving. All very different voices. You can't mimic them, you can't be them, but you can, as you said about, you know, T.S. Eliot, and you didn't understand it, The Wasteland, but at that time, but that it still meant something to you. Hannah Linden, I just want to say to you, thank you for being an incredible inspiration in our community of writers and a very kind inspiration. And I wish you all the success with this pamphlet. And I know that, you know, it's quite clear the timing, you know, you've won those prizes. And these are accolades that I'm sure you're just going to keep on achieving. And thank you so much. So I'm just going to ask you now to read from the book. And thank you very much for being with me.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. This poem opens the pamphlet. Child. Snowborn to a drift of a girl. My hand, her hand, her hand. My hand is a doll. Bend this way, bend that. Build snowmen. Coals for their eyes. The bruise of their stares. Boys that are men. Girl drifts into woman. Mother me, she sighs. Sister me, the winter. Grow. Don't grow. Pick a flower for herself. Be a bulb in a cupboard. Bloom me for Christmas, sip of nectar that sits with a view of the yard. Home is the vinegar bottom of a jar. She births more children, neighbours, sherbets dip bitter with licorice. Today she wants me film star, cat suited in red. Find me a song she hasn't sung. She jived them orange. She has rhythm, but no time. She catalogued me a fable, said, you will understand when you are a mother. This poem is written with some northern dialect words in them in it, so I shall explain some of them. Frangin is a wonderful northern word, which means arguing like a lawyer in the way that children do. Like they use technicalities to get out of trouble. Like, technically I'm not late because my watch was slow. That kind of thing. Mithering means pestering. You'll get the other ones as we go through. I'd just like to say about the strap as well. It was a piece of leather that used to be used to hit children at school if they were bad. Mind strap. Don't be marred. She'd say. You'd reckon she meant mardy, spoilt or irritable, but she meant soft, inadequate, a weakling. She hated children, blathering, cringing. Physical pain were a deformity and we were marred by it by default. She were clever like that. She could take summer ugly and hide it in Lancastrian. Like everyone felt the same round here, like all the words conspired against us, a mind strap for franging, mithering kids. It's not fair. It's leather, a menacing wink, a chuckle. Don't be mad, future's hard. always one step's too loose. Spare the rod, and there's sprung the noose. Either way, we were marred by it by default. She were clever like that. Later on in the pamphlet, we move on to what happens when you grow up and have your own children, and then your family breaks up and you're a single parent. Afternoon tigers. When tigers started to come to tea, I tried all the usual things. Fine china teacups, cucumber sandwiches. I have a headache, darling. You're not real anyway. But outside of children's stories, who keeps a regular stockpile of tiger food? They always catch me unawares, lips curled. I've tried telling them they're really wolves because that's a danger I understand. But the tigers come anyway, slip through the bars using tricks of the light. A friend explains them away. It's menopause, early dementia. The attention-seeking freedom of the divorcee says, I'm more tooth and claw these days. I try to scare them away with mirrors, but they merely comb their fur and ask for an extra large slice of cake. It seems pointless to tell them we're not that kind of family. I've never stopped to eat an extra meal at four. Even the children have noticed. We let them circle around the garden looking hungry. Tell ourselves they'll go away when they realise we have no cake to give them. Cover our ears when they roar. This poem is how I found the title for the book. The whole family climbs aboard the wonky future machine. I shouldn't be worried. It's only money. And however tricky it seems right now, it will work out. It's like holding on to the hang glider while you push off the cliff, thinking there's always the chance of an unexpected storm or an angry bird defending a piece of sky. It's best to imagine a soundtrack, maybe one from a movie where you're the main character, not just some helpless person passed on the street on the way to the main action. And your children, out on their own now, won't need your help for very much longer. You have to keep faith in the kindness of other people who are still strangers, but who might become makers of a draft of air that is the difference between success and a crash. Don't think of the mangled bones at the bottom of the mountain. Think of the beautiful open sky.
Hannah, thank you so much. I absolutely love your poetry, and it so springs to life, not just on the page, but your reading of it. You have a lot of, in a way, sort of innate comedy, particularly when you're speaking the words and you step into that northern grit, that feel. I'm so pleased that you've come today, come to the studio on 4th Street, and despite the beautiful sounds of Totnes, the knell probably, because of the Queen's passing, no doubt, I just felt the atmosphere that you've created with your poetry, and I know it's going to be an incredibly successful pamphlet for you. And I hope that anyone listening to this programme will either come to the launch. What time is it actually at the library?
6:30 till 7:30.
And it's a free event, isn't it?
Yeah, it's free. We better say it's the 21st of September, just 21st. In case.
Yeah. And basically, if they can't make it and they want to buy this book, how would they do that?
There's two ways. You can contact V Press and order it through there. They've got a blog site. Or you could contact me via Twitter my handle is at HannahL1N.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for being on the programme today, Hannah. Wow, Hannah Linden, thank you so much. Right, so wow, what we're doing next? I know, I'm telling you about tonight. If you want to meet Hannah Linden in person, it's Poets and Pints at the Barrel House. The doors open, well, probably they're open all day, but the library bar, probably from 7 o'clock, do come a bit early, sort of 7:30-ish or something, to get yourself a seat. And tonight we have the readers thus far, and that's without sort of people coming along and checking in with us. We have Amit, we have Hannah, Prem, Peter. Peter's coming from Dorset. Chris White, Edward Tripp, Harula, Claire, Kerry, Andrew Martin, Brian Herdman, Jonathan, me, Daniel Anir, Robert Garnham and Nancy. So, oh, what a collection. So, yes, you could be there tonight and listen to more of Hannah's work and indeed lots of local artists. Let's get a little bit of music going. I think a bit of Elton. Coming on, Elton? Thanks, Elts. Sacrifice.
The boundary of the
Elton John and Sacrifice. I love that song. Well, I love Elton John, actually. If you just tuned in, it's 102.5 FM Sound Art Radio, putting the C in community. And do keep on listening past 12, because we have Tracy Gillies and Alex Marsh with their programme. A big wave to Christian, who I bumped into on the way to the studio this morning. And Christian was busy putting up a poster to, I think, alert everyone to tomorrow night, which is the open mic, the music open mic. So that's tonight. We've got the poetry open mic at the Barrel House. And tomorrow night, music. Wow. I have to say, seriously, there's so much going on in Totnes. Over the weekend, there were, you know, music events in Ashburton that we wanted to go to, a poetry event in Tynmouth, and there's so much going on all the time. You're sort of like, oh my God, which one to go to? But actually, in the end, we were so tired and had to sort of spend time with our doggies that we ended up being at home. Right, now I was down the high street. So not only have we got Sarah Louise Connolly telling us and interviewing Jo from Love Frankie, which I love the bits about her studying at Chelsea and how she's going to get, or has got a studio, and she's now focusing on the creativity. I want to go to that studio, definitely. But all the excitement that Totnes has to offer in different, not just gigs, but on the high street, there's a pop-up shop. You know what I'm talking about. You know where it is. I sort of, on the Sunday night, it tends to be the person who's going to take over the week is dressing the shop. And from the get-go, I really noticed this fantastic sort of patterns in the window clothing. So I had to go and speak to Nina, didn't I? So here she comes. Ooh, how exciting. I'm in the pop-up shop in Totnes, where everyone knows it's a groovy abode, and each week different people land here. And I'm very excited because I'm with Nina from Minsky, little Minx. Now, I have to say, on Sunday we drove by and I saw these incredible designs. So just tell me a little bit about, so because obviously we're on the radio, describe the shop right now.
Hello, so.
And welcome.
Yeah, thank you. So we are currently in the shop. And I have lots of clothing around me. So I make hand-printed clothing and use lots of upcycled materials such as denim and cotton canvas. So it all looks quite organic. I have things like t-shirts and hoodies which have graphic prints on them, some corset tops with some fun colourful pom-pom details, some large eccentric coats, and lots of other bits. You'll have to come and check it out. I'm here for 1 week only.
But once you go, they can find you on Instagram, can't they?
Yeah, so my Instagram is at minsky.official. And then I've also got a very exciting website launching. So that's launching this week, fingers crossed. And that will be minsky.co.uk.
Absolutely brilliant. Now, when I came in the other day, because We were very lucky enough to happen upon you and to send a 21st birthday present to our gorgeous niece, Lexi. And you were really helpful and kind. And do you know what? She's bowled over by the gift.
Aww.
And she's really excited. Really excited about you and this business as well. So now I walked in and there you were with your sewing machine on the desk.
Yes.
So I think that's really quite brilliant, as so people can see what you're doing. So what have you in these few days achieved on your sewing machine?
So we've had really good feedback, really good customers come in, so I thought, okay, I better make some more stock for the weekend. So I've been sat here making some hats, like bucket hats, and I've got floppy brimmed hats, lots of different things. I've been sewing up some more hoodies and t-shirts, but I thought it's really important to have my sewing machine in the shop with me, so that people can kind of connect with where their clothes have come from, how they're made, because I think there's a lack of connection these days.
Definitely.
When people buy their clothing.
Yeah.
And they don't know where it's come from. So I think it kind of exaggerates that, and people realise that a person has made it. And I think that's really nice for people to see.
Yeah. So Minsky is kind of from your childhood, is that right?
Yeah.
You call it Little Minx. But your real name's Nina, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Nina, tell me, I feel like your sewing machine's quite magical. I feel like what you're producing here is beautiful and extraordinary and very eye-catching and different. And I can honestly say that hand on heart, because I've watched this pop-up shop, and it's not to, you know, say that anyone else isn't up to your standard, not at all. Everything that comes to this shop is generally absolutely fantastic, but your designs feel like they're really going places, which I'm very excited about. Let's backtrack track a little bit about you as a youngster. Or when did it all start, this kind of love affair, passion with creating garments?
Yeah,
and
so
rag trade.
I've always been creative. I used to, you know, all throughout school, I'd kind of say, what's the point in doing these academic subjects? I want to do art all the time, and I'd kind of fight with my teachers about it, and so I've always known that I've wanted to be an artist and create something for myself. But yeah, I guess it started, I mean, my mum used to tell me, even when I was a toddler, I would not let her dress me. I'd always pick out my own outfits, so I've always had a love of creating outfits and putting together, like, feeling special in what you wear and encouraging other people to do that as well. But my actual journey with my brand started at Plymouth College of Art when I was only 17, 18, that kind of age. And we had a design to sell module where we had to create something that would go in a shop. And that's where it very fast began, but it's developed a lot since then. And lockdown actually gave me a really good opportunity to pursue it more. So that was really good for me. It gave me the time to kind of put more energy into it.
And what about kind of the journey thus far? So your brand is on Instagram, and you're getting your fabulous new website, which we're all really excited about. Yeah. And what about people across the world? Have you connected with people in far-reaching places? And tell me what their feedback for you is. Is there a particular country that's going, I want to eat these designs, I've got to have them?
So I've sold a couple of pieces to America, people in America. I've sold a few things to people in Australia. I believe that is the only other two countries. Oh, I've sold to people in Spain. But no, America and Australia seem to really...
Well, they're a little bit important, those countries.
Yeah.
So I would say that you're, you know...
And maybe they like more eccentric items.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I've heard, but...
I can imagine you also in places like Sweden and Finland, and because they love eccentric designs.
Yes.
So that's good. Now, I'm in the shop, and I'm surrounded by what I'm going to describe as beauty. So those corsets, now you wouldn't catch me in a corset because I'm a little bit over the hill. But having said that, I've seen you in the beautiful, and also the T-shirts and that jacket. That was the jacket was the thing that and the corset was the thing that sort of led me to come in and chat with you. These designs, have they developed? Like, I want to kind of get into the print stuff. So you said that I noticed on Instagram, I had a look, that you actually hand make these prints.
Yeah, so I hand screen print.
Hand screen print. Wow, tell me about that process if you don't mind.
So
have we got all day?
I have a new idea as of late where, so I've got a screen print at the moment with this groovy, swirly sun design, and that features in most of my products in this shop, and that's kind of my collection at the moment. So yeah, I hand screen print, which is where you run ink through a screen with your design onto the fabric, and then use that fabric afterwards. So I create my own textiles, and then my next collection will be based on a whole new print. So I'll design a new print, and then there'll be lots of different items in a brand new print, and that means that you can tell when your Minsky item was made based on what print you've bought.
Oh, that's clever.
Things like that. And
you could even do a Minsky calendar, so they know like the different months and stuff.
That's a fun idea.
Made of material.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be.
Screen print the dates.
Yeah, that would be amazing. So basically, as far as I'm concerned, you're going places. I've got I literally have a schnoz for the rag trade. I love designs and I love art and I love sort of up and coming talent. It's something that I've always really adored. You know, whether it's in creativity or, you know, something else, mathematics even, something that we go, oh my goodness, when you know full well you couldn't do it yourself, but you have this great admiration. But where do you actually see yourself? What about your mum? Because have you got brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I've got two older brothers.
Okay. Do they adore you or do you fight?
No, I get on with them both well. I see one more than the other, but I get on with them both very well, yeah.
Do they share your skills in art, or are they doing something completely different?
Completely different, yeah.
Brilliant.
But my parents are both very creative.
What do they do?
So my dad, he teaches product design. He's a lecturer, and he's done all sorts over the years, but at the moment, both of my parents are doing ceramics.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it really is in your family, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's brilliant.
Got people coming into the shop now. But actually, I think we've covered most of it, really. But where do you see yourself landing? Do you want your own shop?
That would be the dream, yes. I'd love that. I'm kind of working my way up to that, doing lots of pop-up shops and events. So I'm based in Plymouth. So anyone local to Plymouth, follow me on Instagram. And you can find out all my latest events and pop-ups on there.
Fantastic. So if somebody wanted to support you,
yeah,
can we have your addresses in terms of your website, your new website that's coming up?
Yeah.
Not quite there yet.
So my website launching very, very soon will be minsky.co.uk, and that's minsky.co.uk. And then my Instagram, which I post on very regularly, is minsky.official.
Okay, to finalise this interview, which I really love being here with you, you're so easy to be with, and you've been so kind to us in terms of helping us with Lexi's gift. What does your mum say about where you're going? Does she have
she's so excited. She's my number one fan.
Does she wear your products?
Yes, yeah. I have to tell her not to buy them all off me so that other people can.
Well, I think your mum and dad are very, very fortunate to have made you. And you've gone on to make all these amazing things. Thank you so much for being on 102.5 FM Sound Art Radio. I'm Julie Mullen in the pop-up shop in Totnes. Woo, woo. That was Nina from Minsky, the little Minsky. We've come to the end of our show, but I want to say thank you so much to Sarah Louise Connolly, to Joe from Love Frankie, to Nina, to our fantastic poet Hannah Linden, and to Martin, who did some editing and all sorts of other things. So we'll go out with the Hip Cats, shall we? Yeah. Stay tuned. Tracy's coming with Alex.